It's hour number four of the four-hour morning show on 960 The Ref. It's presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan, Josh, and Ronald Acuna Jr. bringing the home stretch to you this morning.
Our hero.
He just owns the fish, man. It's a great thing. 16 home runs now in 36 games against the Marlins. And let me remind you that one of those 36 games is when that evil, evil Urania guy hit him with the first pitch of the game, and then he sat that game. So really on 35 games played, Ronald Acuna just raking over the coals of the Miami Marlins. Good to see. It's Thursday, which means our man Bill Shanks joins us to talk about the Braves. Bill, loud and clear, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are y'all?
It's always a great day when Ronald Acuna Jr. does Ronald Acuna Jr. things, which I think we're getting a little bit used to at this point. This is unreal what he's doing to Miami right now. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Well, he just punishes them. That's why they want to put him on the injured list and get him out of the lineup. I mean, he just kills them. And yeah, he, you know, it's amazing how these players, you know, Chipper and the Mets, for example, and now Acuna and the Marlins, they just pick their certain teams they like to punish, and I think we know what Acuna's favorite one is, for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad we get to play those guys 19 times. I'll miss them after tonight, by the way. We've had good success on them on the season. A big part of why the Braves are in first place with I call it comfortable lead, six games as of now. And back to Acuna and the Marlins real quick, lads, because the other night when they hit him again opening the game, I certainly said some words in my house I cannot say on air right now. What is up with this whole hit Acuna mentality they have?
Well, it's Bush League, and I think everybody knows it. And I don't know. Chip Carey asked on the telecast, he asked Tom Glavine, who's getting better by the day as a color commentator, I think. He's really, really good.
Right.
He asked him, you know, this couldn't have anything to do with Sunday, could it? And you know, he kind of asked it like that, like, surely not. And Glavine said, well, I hope not, because you've got to rake your own leaves. In other words, that's none of their business what Brian Snicker had to deal with on Sunday. But you know what? Considering how they obviously felt about Acuna that led them to hit him in the first place last year, which we assume was because they thought he was, you know, showing him up, flipping the bat and doing all kinds. Maybe it was about Sunday, which if that's the case, that's sick. That's mm-hmm. stupid because, like Glavine said, rake your own leaves, you know. Don't mess with my in my yard. And so I don't know. I mean, it's pretty bad, and I know people want the Braves to, you know, punish one of their players. But look, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree that should happen, and it still might. But you know, we got a division win for this team here, right. And that's the priority. And you've got to keep that in mind. I mean, we can criticize whether it's, you know, I mean, and here's the thing. In the way I was thinking last night, you know, they had their chance earlier in this year to hit Urania, and Kevin Gausman missed him, which was probably the dumbest thing that's happened with this
right.
team all year long. I mean, that was embarrassing that you had your chance finally to hit him. Everybody in the world knew you were going to hit him, and you threw it behind him, which is, you know, I got three letters for Kevin Gausman, DFA. But, you know, they got to win the games. And look, they're 14-4 against this team. They've got to be 15-4. They've got to just continue to win games and protect that lead. That's more important than getting them back. But it'll happen in time, and hopefully the next time it does, whether it's early in the year or next year, when it may not be as important as an August 22nd game, hopefully there'll be a pitcher for Atlanta that can actually hit the batter.
I know it's old news now, so I don't want to harp on it too long, but I do value your opinion quite a bit, and it's the first time we've had you since the weekend. What were just your thoughts on Sunday when Acuna was benched? And I'll say I had mixed emotions at the time because I was a fan, and I wanted to win, and I thought Acuna gave us the best chance. But in hindsight, I did warm up to the notion that it was probably a good move. What is your take on all of that?
Had to do it. I mean, look, yes, it was important. It was an important game because it was the team you're chasing in the National League, and it's the team that you're likely going to have to beat if you want to do something really, really special this year. Acuna always gives you a better chance to win. There's no doubt about that. But look, it was coming. It was inevitable. I think, and I try to put myself in other people's shoes, Ronald Acuna is probably the second best player in the sport behind Mike Trout. And even though Bellinger and Yelich are having great years, I think as far as his talent and the whole picture, you take Acuna over Bellinger and Yelich. So, you know, he's 21 years old. He's popular. He's got money. He's one of the best at what he does. And so that head is hard to control. I mean, human emotion is going to tell you that you've got to be in control of yourself when that many things are going your way. And there have been other things that I think have happened that the Braves have kind of winced at a little bit and kind of like, oh, you know, don't do that, you know. And some of it is, you know, taking too long at the plate. I mean, look, the batters these days, they do admire their home runs. Josh Donaldson does it. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I can't stand it. I mean, if I was a pitcher, I'd put one in his earlobe. But that's the way it's done. And the only thing is, Logan, if you're going to do that, you damn well better make sure that ball doesn't go off the top of the brick.
Right, absolutely. Speaking with Bill Shanks, host of The Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins.
Hey, Bill, Julio Teheran was excellent last night. 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, only 3 walks. Has there been a Braves starting pitcher that has kind of been underappreciated as much as Julio Teheran? Like, obviously he's had his ups and downs, but, you know, on the whole, you know, Julio Teheran has been, you know, a steady performer over the last, you know, 6-7 years.
No, to answer your question, I don't think there has been a more underappreciated pitcher. I mean, look, he's good, but not great. He can be very good at times, like he was last night. Sure, you take away the 5 games he's beat the Marlins in, and his record is a little different. His ERA is a little different. But you know what? The Marlins are on the schedule, and so that's part of his job, is to go out there and beat the teams he has to face. And he does it very well against the Marlins, which is good. So you go and look at what he's done since 2013 in a 7-year run. And, you know, the ERA, his career ERA right now is 3.63, but since he joined the rotation, it's 3.6. We looked it up a couple of weeks ago. The number of pitchers, and you assume that he's going to obviously go over 30 starts this year because he's at 26. The number of pitchers who, since 2000, he's at 27. The number of pitchers in the big leagues who have had 7 straight years, every year since 2013, with 30 or more starts, is 4. Teheran, John Lester, Mike Leake, and Jose Quintana from the Cubs. 2 of the Cubs pitchers have done it. There is value to that. You know, now you may say, well, okay, if he's got 30 starts a year and his ERA is 4.5, but it's not. His ERA is 3.6, which is really good. Not many pitchers can have that type of durability and consistency and stay healthy. Here's the thing, when we were looking for that list and trying to find the pitchers who fit in that category, which again, 4 in the last 7 years, you're going through some of the best pitchers in the game, and most all of them have had injury issues, just like Max Scherzer. Look at him. He's not going to have 30 starts this year because he's just missed a month, right? So the value in what Julio does as far as going to the post every fifth day is there in today's game. No, he's not going to give you 7 innings per start every time out. It may be 5 1/3. There's probably going to be a lot. There will be between 5 and 6. Some, like last night, will be 7. And occasionally he'll have a wet-the-bed game like he did last week where he didn't make it out of the second inning. But I think when Julio Teheran leaves this team in whatever year, whether it's after this year, after next year, or whenever, I think we're going to look back and say, you know what, first of all, he was the main pitcher for this team during a rebuild, which is not an easy thing to do. And for the most part, he did his job and he did it well. Now, do I want him pitching Game 1 of the playoffs against Kershaw? No, I don't. But yeah, we do need to appreciate what Julio can bring to the table. And look, if he, between now and the end of the season, there are 34 games left, so he's got, you know what, 6 starts left. If he's pitching well, he's going to be in that playoff rotation, and he should, because that ERA, you know, 2 years ago the ERA was 4.5, then it went down last year to 3.94, now 3.53. Again, is he going to win a Cy Young? No, but yeah, he's done very well overall, and let's hope it can continue for this team.
Bill, one of your tweets yesterday I consider one of the most Bill Shanks tweets in the history of Bill Shanks tweets. That's at Bill Shanks, by the way. If you're not following him, do so. You say all of a sudden you no longer like the drop-dead trade deadline of July 31st. The Braves need a catcher. What are we going to do at the catcher position the next couple of weeks?
Well, it still bothers me. I mean, they were very worried, Logan, when McCann first got hurt in the initial MRI. They did not feel good about the situation. They were really worried about what Brian McCann was going to be able to do for the rest of this season. He came in yesterday, felt better, and I guess the MRI showed an MCL sprain, but which is kind of what, you know, Riley has. We're talking about a catcher here. I mean, I'm still concerned about what Brian can do and will do for the rest of the season. There's no doubt you got a catcher with a knee problem, you got a big problem. And, you know, Tyler Flowers has been awful. He's just been awful last, you know, 6 weeks. Here's the number. Since June 24th, he's hit 138. So, I mean, we're talking almost 2 months now, right? It's August 22nd, so 2 days from now, it's going to be two full months. That's awful. You can't have someone in your lineup hitting 138. And Tyler's got to do better. We obviously are going to see a lot of him. And the bad thing is, before the injury to McCann, I mean, I was told that as long as everything was okay with McCann, he was going to be the playoff starter every single game. Because you got days off, and the playoffs is not as bad of an everyday schedule. And because of how bad Tyler's been offensively and defensively, they were going to have McCann play every day. Now, obviously, that's a question mark, and it's a big worry because Flowers has been so poor defensively, and then he can't hit. And, you know, look, he's 33 years old, Max 35. This is what you have to worry about with older catchers. And Alex Jackson got called up last night. I mean, Jackson can hit home runs, but he is not a great hitter, batting average low. You know, he's okay defensively, not great. They've got the Murphy kid down in AAA who they bought from the Diamondbacks, who they probably would like to get him on the 40-man roster. They right now don't have room. I don't know how they'll get him on the 40-man roster. They got a crunch with that 40-man roster, even to bring people up for September. So the only other thing I think they could do, and I don't think he's been signed, Chris Iannetta, who's another older catcher in his mid-30s, I believe, is out there. He got DFA'd by Colorado the other day, and you wonder, well, would they think about bringing him in like they brought in Billy Hamilton the other day? So, I mean, it's a concern. It's a big concern, and it's a big concern not only now but for the long term. I mean, I was hoping that they could maybe get another year out of McCann and Flowers, and I think that little situation is in tremendous jeopardy with what's happened here.
Bill, assuming, you know, speaking of injuries, assuming Dansby comes back and he starts playing normal, how does Hechavarria kind of play into the postseason roster? And, you know, what kind of a role has he kind of carved himself out of this playing time that he's got?
Well, he's a very good defensive player. He's hit very well since he's been with the Braves in the, what, five games or so that he's played. That's great. I mean, the home run last night was great. Any offense you can get from him is a plus, but he's such a strong defensive player, and you need that. You need him to provide that defense for you. So, you know, as far as the playoff roster, look, you know, they've got 34 games left, so we're talking about, you know, a little over 5 weeks. 5 weeks from this weekend, and they've got 5 weeks to figure all that out. And it's almost an audition, because the players who are playing the best or may even be the hottest, you know, Camargo comes back up in September from AAA and plays really well in his opportunities. He's got a chance to be on that playoff roster, absolutely. I mean, they've just got to, you know, really examine and self-scout these players and determine which combination of players for that playoff series against the National League Central Division winner is going to be the best. And it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I mean, obviously, we've had the addition of some players here with Echeverria and Hamilton, and we don't know about the injury status of these guys who they hope, obviously, will come back. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that regard. I mean, a lot of teams probably hope that on August 22nd they know the 25 men that they'll have on their playoff roster. The Braves don't. They really don't, because they've got to see when Swanson and Riley come back, how are they? How do they do? How do they play? Do their injuries, you know, hold out and not become a problem moving forward for the rest of the season? So there's just a lot of uncertainty and unknowns that will shape this team and this playoff roster in the next 5.5 weeks.
Hey, speaking of coming up in September, I've seen you discuss over the last week how you think that Drew Waters could actually be a spark for the Braves outfield come September. What are your thoughts on him at the major league level already?
Well, I don't think they're going to bring up Waters or Pache, and I think that was kind of confirmed by Billy Hamilton coming up. And, mm-hmm. you know, the preference is obviously to not let their clocks start for their arbitration clocks.
Sure.
and to wait on that. And I also think, I mean, we're talking about two 20-year-old kids. I know Alex Anthopoulos went to Gwinnett last week after the injury to Inciarte. He went Saturday and watched Waters, and I think there was a belief that Waters, while he's having a fantastic year, is just not ready to make that jump yet, that he does need more time, he does need to see more curveballs, and that it would be a real risk. Sure, he's probably not going to necessarily harm you, because you know he can play well defensively, but you know, you just have to take the big picture into account as well. And I think they're trying their best they can to see if they can make it with the combination of Ortega and Joyce and Culberson and Hamilton now, until some of these guys get back, until Riley gets back first, and then they'll see in September if Markakis and or Inciarte can come back. So I think that's the preference now. I mean, sure, I'm tempted, and I would still be tempted, but I understand why they're trying to hold out. And you know, I just think the reason I even have put that out there and considered it, and I'm sure I know they've considered it. Again, they wouldn't have had the general manager go to AAA and watch him if they hadn't considered it, is that Drew Waters has had a phenomenal season for a 20-year-old switch hitter. I mean, I've tried to find other similar players and prospects who had this kind of year, and it's hard to. I'm talking about a switch hitter at that age to have those kind of numbers. It just doesn't happen very often. It doesn't mean he's going to go to Cooperstown, but it does say that, you know, this is a very good prospect here, and you want to try to make sure you protect him as much as you can. So, look, if something were to happen where Riley or someone else could not come back, I mean, they would probably consider it more. But I was actually told the other day that Pache might be the one they would choose, just because the defense is better than Waters, and that sounds like it's a knock on Drew. It's not. Pache's just an elite-level defender right now and can make that kind of difference. But after they got Hamilton, Logan, I think that was nipped in the bud.
Fair enough. And great stuff as always. I want to give you a chance before we let you go, put your college football hat on. It's week zero, Bill. We actually got football Saturday night. Will you watch? I know you're a big Braves everything. Will you watch Florida, Miami? And if so, are you watching to, like, hope Florida collapses, or just kind of get a better feel for what Florida is?
Damn right. I want Florida to lose by three touchdowns. I mean, my Hurricanes are going to win on Saturday night. Manny Diaz is my favorite coach ever at Miami. No, look, I can't wait. I'm excited. I think we all are ready to go and get going. It's that time of year. You know, August and March are always those favorite times, favorite months of this of the calendar for me for sports, because we're mm-hmm. looking forward to the season starting with baseball in April and football in September. So there's no better time of the year with the anticipation and the hope that everybody has for all their teams. And I just hate the Florida fans are going to be let down, but they're used to it by now the last couple of years. So
love it.
No, I can't wait. It's going to be great. I can't wait for next Saturday night and the first Georgia game in Athens in a couple of weeks, and of course what's to come in September, which is going to be special. So it's I can't wait. I'm counting down the hours and minutes just like everyone else.
We're excited about Vanderbilt, but we did talk a lot about Notre Dame on this show, this September 21st. Are you going to be able to be here for that?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
Absolutely. I haven't
Good
missed
deal.
A home game since 2006,
Excellent.
So, yeah.
We'll have to invite you over. We talk tailgating, too. I'll have to let you know where my family is. Swing by. We'll take care of you food-wise for a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right, well, I guess next time we talk, it'll be game week for the Dogs, and hopefully the Braves will continue staying ahead in the East, and we'll get to you next week.
All right, good deal.
Thanks,
you.
Bill. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill Shanks of the Bill Shanks Show. Good stuff,
so now
as
he's
always.
Now he's inducted into the Gator Hater Club.